Moses today in the first reading is exhausted. He's exhausted by caring for God's people. We don't hear it. It happens in the verses that immediately follow today's first reading. The people are complaining. They're complaining because God has given them the manna to eat in the desert. They had complained that they were starving, so God gave them the manna. Then they get tired of the manna, so they start complaining about that. And Moses says, enough. I can't do all this by myself. And so God says, okay, draw up a list of 70 elders, assistants. And God tells Moses that he will take a portion of the spirit that he gave to Moses and distribute it among those 70 elders. So the list is drawn up, and we hear today that there's a commissioning ceremony of some sort. It sort of parallels what we would recognize to be an ordination. And the spirit is shared. But two of the men who are on the list are missing, Eldad and Medad. But the spirit is given to them anyway. And they prophesy in the camp. Joshua, who is Moses' assistant, wants Moses to stop them. He's jealous of them. And then Moses speaks those wonderful words at the very end of today's reading. Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all. Those words of Moses were themselves prophecy. Because God would, through the new covenant, make all of his people prophets through the sacrament of baptism. He would bestow his gift on all of his people so that they can become heralds of the good news. Then in the gospel reading, we see a very similar thing happen. That's why the church pairs these two readings together. John says to Jesus, "We saw someone driving out demons in your name, and they tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." And Jesus responds, "Whoever is not against us is for us." John seems to equate those who can call on the name of Jesus with the official party, the group. But Jesus says that's not the case. How often today do people expect the official party to do the work of proclaiming the gospel, spreading the good news? The Pope, the bishops, the priests, the deacons, that's their job. It's not my job. Well, that's a stunted understanding of who we are as God's people. Because God bestows upon all of us who are here today, who are baptized, he bestows on us the gift of his Spirit. And we share in the threefold office of Jesus, who is priest, prophet, and king. And because we are incorporated into his body at baptism, we share that office of prophecy. And that means that it is the job of all of God's people to be missionaries, to carry the name of Jesus and the good news of the gospel into the world. What Moses wished all of those thousands of years ago has become true. We are all prophets. And God has bestowed his Spirit on all of us. Within the community of the baptized, within the body of Christ, God has also given special gifts. He's given the gift of the sacrament of holy orders, by which among the chosen baptized, he chooses others. He calls men to share, follow him in a special way, through a special consecration, a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit to govern the church and to sanctify the people of God. So we might be tempted to think of the clergy as like the official party who have the exclusive job of ministry. But that's not the case. Within the community of the baptized, yes, God does call and gives a special grace in the sacrament of holy orders. But that grace is ordered towards the sanctification of the people of God, of the growth and holiness of the entire church. But together, priests, deacons, bishops, and all the people of God are empowered to spread the good news. So what does that look like in our lives? Specifically, what does that look like in our parish community? What is the parish meant to be? The parish is meant to be a place where we feel like we belong, where we are supported, where we are loved, where we are sanctified by the sacraments, fed by the body and blood of the Lord, our sins forgiven, the special moments of our lives celebrated. It's a place where we learn about the faith. But it's also a place where we are sent forth from. It's a place where we are sent out into the world with the message of the gospel. We're sent out into our own sphere of influence. Our workplace, our community, our family, our friends, our school. Each of us has a sphere of influence in which we bring the message of the gospel, the message that we believe, the experience of our faith, we bring that into the world. And it probably will come as no surprise to you when I say that we've got a lot of work to do. It was getting very difficult to witness to the gospel in our world for various reasons, cultural reasons. We could go through all of those things. It was getting difficult even before the pandemic. And now it's even harder. If you follow our mass attendance in the bulletin each week, that number is about 70% of where it was before the pandemic. So the question is, where are the other 30%? Did you know we also didn't even put all of the chairs back in the church that were here before? There are about 150 so chairs that haven't even made their way back in. What happened to the people who used to sit in those chairs? Certainly there are many different reasons. I don't impugn anyone's motives. But it's a very important question. Very important question for the future. And not only in our mass attendance, but our attendance in other groups, like our Alpha and our Bible studies and other programs, has declined, visibly declined, and not expanded after the pandemic. Sometimes I worry about the future of the parish, the future of the church. If you ask me what I worry about when I lay in bed at night, that's it. What happened to the other 30%? I don't want us to end today on a negative. There is so much here that goes on here to be positive about. But where is God calling us? I certainly do think that God is calling us to a brighter future. God doesn't want his church to be in a state of decline. Rather, he wants it to be in a state of growth, but growth in holiness. Growth in faith among the people of the baptized, among all the members of this parish. God wants our parish community to be a place where people fall in love with him and then go and bring that love out into the world. We want our parish community to be a place where people joyfully desire to come to, rather than a place where they come because they are fulfilling some sort of obligation or checking off a box, or I go because I don't want to go to hell. We want our parish community to be a place where people aren't in a hurry to leave Mass. There are times when I almost get knocked over by the people coming into the aisle on the way out. What's the hurry? If our hearts have been touched by the message of the gospel that we have received in this place, I hope we're in a hurry to go out and share it. But I fear we're in a hurry to be the first one off the parking lot. We want our parish community to be a place where visitors come and say, those people have something I want. Those people have something that has changed their lives, and I want that in my life. Those are all things that we want for our parish, that I believe that God wants for our parish. To be a place where people belong, to be a place where people are joyful, to be a place where people go out to bring the good news of the gospel. And that vision of the future, that vision of the future is what we can use to touch that 30% and the even more who didn't come before. That vision of the future is what God has in mind for us. And it's truly a great vision, one which we all have to partake in. It's only going to work unless we're all playing our part. It's a bright, beautiful, attractive picture of the future. Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all. You are all prophets. You have all been given God's spirit. My friends, what are you going to do with it?